Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In headlines, it's Saturday, March the 1st. Pope Francis suffers a further health setback and is placed on artificial ventilation. Cardinal Fernandez, the prefect of the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, leads a prayer for the Pope's health in St. Peter's Square. And in world news, the Kurdistan Workers' Party announces a ceasefire with Turkey, potentially putting an end to a conflict dating back 41 years. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. Yesterday evening, the Holy See Press Office said that Pope Francis' respiratory condition had worsened following an isolated bronchospasm. The press office said that the Pope had been placed on non-invasive mechanical ventilation, to which he was responding positively. Additionally, the Pope has remained alert, the press office said, and aware at all times, and he is cooperating with therapeutic treatments. However, the press office did say that the prognosis is still unclear. That update came yesterday at 7 p.m. Rome time. This morning, the press office released a short statement saying that Pope Francis had slept well and spent the first part of the morning resting. In addition to those official updates from the press office, Vatican Radio can also confirm that as of at least noon Rome time today, the Pope has not experienced any further crises following yesterday's bronchospasm. This morning, Vatican Radio has also learnt the Pope had breakfast, enjoyed a coffee and read some of the Italian newspapers. Officials in the Vatican are, of course, praying for the Pope's health. Yesterday, Cardinal Victor Fernandez, head of the Vatican's Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, led a rosary prayer in St. Peter's Square for the Pope. Vatican Radio's Eduardo Giribaldi was at the rosary and he has this report.
And please, do not forget to pray for me. Those are the words that Pope Francis has addressed time and time again to the groups he meets with. Yesterday evening, February 28th, they resonated in the hearts of the faithful who gathered in St. Peter's Square to unite in prayer for the Pope's health. Cardinal Victor Manuel Fernandez, prefect of the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, led the faithful in the recitation of the Rosary. Cardinals, priests, nuns, and lay faithful from different corners of the world had gathered, with one group waving a Brazilian flag. The people of God, in all its different expressions, united their voices in a single melody of faith, meditating on the sorrowful mysteries. From the Gospel passage to the Our Father, followed by the decades of the Hail Marys, the prayer was interspersed with moments of silence, filled with devotion. Eyes were closed in deep contemplation, or open and fixed on the Marian icon, whose light seemed to embrace the faithful. Christ before Pilate, the scourging and the crowning with thorns, followed by the path to Calvary and finally the cross. This turmoil was reflected in the night sky over Rome, where, however, darkness will eventually give way to the blessed hope. That hope is light, like the golden reflection on the facade of St. Peter's or the torches held by some of the faithful. It is the goal, Cardinal Fernandez said, towards which the faithful walk together, hoping to remain united even as, at the end of the rosary, each one made their separate way home. I am Edoardo Giribaldi.
And it's not just in the Vatican that Catholics are praying for the Pope's health. Recently, Cardinal Robert McElroy, the new Archbishop of Washington, D.C., spoke about this collective concern for the Pope in a meeting with journalists. Cardinal McElroy, who will soon depart his old diocese of San Diego for Washington, brought together the priests of his old diocese to say a rosary for Pope Francis, and he told that to the assembled journalists.
Our thoughts in these days have been preoccupied with the help of Pope Francis. And on Tuesday, all of the priests of the diocese gathered together in prayer, and we prayed the rosary for the Holy Father for his health. That's a sign of all of the prayers that have been going up, both here within the Diocese of San Diego and throughout the world, asking God to be with the Pope and help him. You know, Pope Francis has been throughout his pontificate, you know, since 2013, he has been really a sign of prayer, of reaching out to, in every situation in the world, of turmoil and hardship and struggle and suffering, and bringing prayer to those moments. And so, as a consequence, it's so appropriate that throughout the world people are raising their voices in prayer for the Pope and praying that God will be with him, help him in the suffering, give him peace and give him strength and give him healing. And I know that so many, many people who have looked upon this Pope as a man who has brought a sense of real pastoral commitment and depth to the life of the Church and putting the outreach of the Church to everyone, inviting everyone into the life of the Church, and especially to those who are poor and vulnerable and marginalized and who are suffering in any form, that this Pope may continue to be the leader of the Church for some time to come and continue to give that message to the world, which is in so much tumult and conflict now, that the Pope Francis' message of love and compassion and care and considering everyone equal is especially needed in our world at this time throughout the world.
That was Cardinal Robert McElroy, the new Archbishop of Washington, D.C., speaking there during a meeting with journalists on Thursday in San Diego, the diocese he will be leaving in the coming days as he moves to take on his new role in the nation's capital. He was speaking there about the Pope's health. The Holy See Press Office is releasing daily medical updates on the Pope at about 7 p.m. Rome time every evening, as well as a shorter update each morning. The next update on the Pope's health will come at about 7 p.m. Rome time this evening. However, there won't be another news broadcast until tomorrow afternoon. So if you do want to get an update before that, you can check our website. That's www.vaticannews.va, and our social media, just search Vatican News on Facebook, X or Instagram. We're doing our best to keep everyone updated on the Holy Father's health at this very difficult time. And now moving over to some world news, the Kurdistan Workers' Party has announced a ceasefire with Turkey, potentially putting an end to a conflict dating back 41 years. Nathan Morley has more.
The decision follows an appeal from the PKK leader Abdullah Öcalan, who has been held in isolation since 1999. The PKK hopes that Turkey will release Öcalan to lead a disarmament process. Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan responded by saying that a new phase had begun in Turkey's efforts to eliminate terrorism. He emphasized that terrorism had been the main obstacle for the country over the past four decades, and he assured that the government would remain vigilant. Erdogan also noted that the end of terrorism offered Turkey the chance to take a historic step towards unity and progress. The PKK, which stands for the Kurdistan Workers' Party, insists that Öcalan's prison conditions must now be eased, allowing him to live and work freely and establish relationships with anyone he wishes. The group has waged an insurgency since 1984, aiming to carve out a homeland for Kurds who make up around 20% of Turkey's 85 million people. The PKK is banned as a terrorist group in Turkey, the EU, the UK and the United States. Since the insurgency began, around 40,000 people have died. There was a spike in violence in southeastern Turkey from 2015 to 2017. More recently, back in October, the PKK claimed responsibility for an attack on Turkish aerospace industries near Ankara, which left five people dead. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Healthcare experts have warned that the ongoing conflict in the Democratic Republic of Congo could contribute to the spread of the highly contagious Mpox virus. Christopher Wells tells us more.
Ongoing conflict in the Democratic Republic of Congo has seen attacks on health clinics in the eastern part of the country, leading to fears that the highly contagious Mpox virus might spread. At least 900 people are believed to have succumbed to the disease in the DRC in the past year. After attacks that have seen the cities of Goma and Bukavu fall to Rwanda-backed M23 rebels, more than 500 people have fled clinics where they were being treated for the disease. Mpox can cause lesions, headaches, and fever, and in severe cases can lead to death. According to the Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Africa CDC, almost 2,900 cases of Mpox have been reported in the DRC over the course of the past year. The situation is complicated by the large numbers of displaced persons, including tens of thousands of people forced to leave camps that had been shut down by M23. The rebels later reopened the camps, calling for people to return voluntarily. Now we are afraid of an outbreak of the epidemic in the areas where the displaced people return to, said Dr. Samuel Muhindo, in charge of a clinic in Goma, speaking with BBC News. The African CDC has repeated its appeal for a ceasefire and for a humanitarian corridor to facilitate Mpox interventions. In view of the surge of Mpox cases in Africa, the World Health Organization earlier this week accepted recommendations from experts that the situation still warrants a public health emergency of international concern under international health regulations. I'm Christopher Wells.
The escalating crisis in Haiti has left millions of children without access to an education. As ever worsening violence plagues the nation, armed gangs are destroying schools which were once a safe haven for children dreaming of a better future. Francesca Merlo has this report.
As violence continues to escalate in Haiti, schools, previously sanctuaries where children could thrive under the protection of education, are being reduced to rubble. Now their future is uncertain. In January alone, armed groups completely destroyed 47 schools in the capital, Port-au-Prince. In 2024, 284 schools were targeted, leaving hundreds of thousands of children with no place to learn. Haiti has been facing hardship for many years, but the crisis deepened following the assassination of President Jovenel Moïse in July 2021. Armed groups now control large parts of the country, and schools, healthcare facilities and other critical infrastructure have been targeted, worsening the suffering of the population. According to UNICEF, 1 in 7 children in Haiti is now out of school, with nearly 1 million more at risk of dropping out. The consequences are dire, as last year saw a 70% increase in the recruitment of children into armed groups. The majority of these groups are nearly half composed of children, some as young as 8 years old. Haitian parents often sacrifice a significant portion of their income to ensure their children receive an education. However, many now face unprecedented economic hardship, and those who can still afford to send their children to school are finding there are none left to attend. UNICEF, along with other partners, is working to rehabilitate damaged schools, create temporary learning spaces, and reintegrate displaced children into education. Mental health and psychosocial support services are also being offered to help children and families cope with the trauma they have endured. However, humanitarian efforts remain underfunded, and more support is urgently needed to reach the peace and stability Haiti so desperately needs and deserves. The call is for children to not become the forgotten victims of this crisis. The hope remains that these children will be given the chance to learn, to dream, and to build a better future. I am Francesca Merlo.
And finally, today is the first day of Ramadan, the holy month of Islam. Mustafa Çeynep Aydin, a Turkish Muslim and sociologist of religion, spoke to Vatican Radio's Italian programme about the holy month. He noted that Lent for Catholics will be beginning in just a few days. And he said that Ramadan, like Lent, is a time of fasting and a time to grow closer to one another and to our Creator. He also said that it was a great coincidence that the two holy months were starting at a similar time, said that this is, quote, like an embrace between two brothers, the children of Abraham, walking together, although for different reasons. That's all we've got time for on this edition of Vatican and World News. As I mentioned earlier, for all the latest news, particularly the news on the Pope's health, you can visit our website, www.vaticannews.va, and you can also get those updates on our social media pages, Facebook, X and Instagram, to search Vatican News. Many thanks go to Alberto Giovanetti in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Joseph Tullock.